Praise God. Welcome to Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you have tuned in. If you have your Bible tonight, go with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I'll start reading in a moment at verse 17. Our key verse, what we're after, is really verse 19, Psalm 34, verse 19. But we'll start at verse 17. We'll give you a chance to turn there. I'm reading from the New American Standard. That's my favorite version of the Bible. But I'm also going to read this in the Passion Translation after we're done in the New Living. So Psalm 34, if you will, Psalm 34 at verse 17. It says this: "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." I tell you, that's a good verse, that verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." That same verse 19 in the Passion Translation, Psalm 34, verse 19, says, "Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face." I like that. I'm going to read that one more time out of the Passion Translation. I'm talking about you now. "Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face." Praise God. And finally, in the New Living Translation, Psalm 34, verse 19, in the New Living Translation tonight, it says this: "The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time." Praise God. The title of our message tonight is The Great Escape. The Great Escape. That title can, that can make people think of different things depending on what era you may have been raised in. Back in 1963, there was a big movie. Steve McQueen was all the rage back in 63. And the movie The Great Escape is about British soldiers escaping from a Nazi concentration camp. And he does that jump over the fence with that motorcycle, and that movie is called The Great Escape. Go back 96 years, 1926, and there was a great escape artist, Harry Houdini, and he was known for having many great escape. And yet the Bible says that a righteous man, a righteous woman may have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver him and her out of every single one of them. Praise God. And there's no great escape artist like our God. Our God has the ability and the power to deliver us out of every situation that we face. And so there's no, Harry Houdini, okay, that was all about illusions or whatever. And the movie, that was just a movie. But we're talking about the reality of our lives. And the reality is that believers do face trouble sometimes. And living in this earth and living in this planet, sometimes we all go through things that are unexpected. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And none of us wants to face trouble. But if we are all honest tonight, there are times in our life when we go through trouble. But our God, how many are glad? He's a delivering God. And he's a mighty, mighty delivering God. I wonder if you'll testify tonight. Anybody here God's ever delivered you out of something and it was the hand of God that sure enough delivered you? Been many times in my life when the Lord has delivered me. You've heard so many of my testimonies, right? I was on a FedEx plane when we were taking off and one of the engines exploded and caught on fire. Big DC-10 loaded with freight coming out of Memphis, Tennessee. I'll never forget that. God delivered me that night. Yeah. I've been behind the wheel of a car coming out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, headed back to Tulsa. Had a long down there managing one of the FedEx stations and had a long day. And, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night. I've been down at Stillwater since 6 a.m. And I'm flying, trying to get back home. 75 out there on 412. Fell asleep behind the wheel of my car, 75 miles an hour. Woke up just before I went over a ditch. But the hand of the Lord delivered me. Again and again in my life, I've seen God's hand, his delivering power, his delivering hand help me again and again and again. I remember I was selling my home, and I was getting ready to go to, I was a day or so before the closing, and oh man, my heating and air guy came in, and he just said, "Pastor Bill, your heating unit, that's shot." He said, "I can't fix this thing." And he said, "But I know another brother, he might be able to fix it. Can I call him?" And I said, "Yeah, you can call him." And he came over. "It's the day I'm closing. I got to close on the house. And if that's not fixed, then I'm going to pay an extra $5,000. I've got to come up with another $5,000. And man, hours before I had to leave for my closing, that brother came, was able to fix that unit. God delivered me. I remember standing in the middle of my dad's living room after he had passed away and gone to heaven, him with a 4-bedroom house he had built 30 years before, packed full of furniture and all types of things that my dad assigned some type of intrinsic value to. But I called it junk. It had to go. I had just limited time to get back to work, and I just had just a job that was beyond my ability to do it. And I never forget a brother from my dad's church called me, and he said, "I loved your dad. I always guided him in his GTO. When he came to church, I'd hear that rumble of the GTO when it came in the parking lot, and I'd be looking for your dad, and I'd help him find his parking space, and I just want to call and see if you need anything." And I said, "Normally I'd say no, but I got to get a bunch of furniture out of this house. And I got about 4 days to do it." And he said, "Let me call you back." And he called me back and he said, "I got 8 guys ready to help you 8 hours a day." Yes, he did. And the hand of the Lord delivered me again. God has helped me over and over and over again. And I know this is not just my testimony. We are all his children, and God has helped you. Oh, can I get a witness? He's helped you over and over and over again. Situations, circumstances, and scenarios where God has been there. The great escape is the power of our God to deliver us no matter what the situation. When we arrive here in Psalm 34, David is in all kinds of trouble. The backdrop for Psalm 34 is actually over in 1 Samuel 21. Verses 10 through 15, at the end of the chapter, David is in trouble. Saul has been chasing him. You know, that's a famous interaction. Saul, you know, jealous king, chasing who's going to be the new king and trying to kill him and all of that. But here, 1 Samuel 21, 10 to 15, verses 10 to 15. Oh, man, David is in trouble. He's made what looks like a bad decision. He's running from Saul, and to get away from Saul, he decided to go and hide among the enemy, the hated Philistines. You know, Goliath was a Philistine, and David had been their enemy, but it was so bad with Saul hunting him down, he felt his only recourse was to go into the Philistine camp to fight with the Philistines, and he takes his men, and he goes into Philistine territory, and he's just about to fight with the Philistine in battle. He has his men with him. They're going to fight with the Philistines. When all of a sudden the Philistine king sees David and he says, "Isn't that David?" And they said, "Yeah, that's David." And the Philistine king says, "Isn't he the one they sang that song about?" And they said, "Yeah, they sang the song about him." And he quoted the song. He said, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Isn't that the one who killed Goliath, our giant?" "Yeah, that's him." And he said, "Are you crazy? What is he doing here?" And David realizes at that moment, "I'm in trouble. I've been exposed. I'm in trouble." And he starts to think, my life is over. I'm in trouble. And he panics. He's not sure what to do. So he decides, his plan is, "I'm going to act crazy. I'm just going to act crazy out of my mind." They say, I read in the commentary that back in that day, it was customary to allow people who had mental illnesses to allow them to live and to show them mercy and to excuse them out of your presence. And they say it was very, very rude, crazy-like, if someone spit on your beard or if someone drooled on their own beard. And David, in feigning craziness, decides to drool down his beard. And he starts scratching and clawing at a door. And the Philistine commander turns around and says, "I got enough crazy people around me. What'd you bring him here for? Get rid of him." And he lets David slip away their arch rival got away just like that. And this Psalm 34 is written against that backdrop. And I love verse 1 because he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I tell you, that's good advice for the Christian, to let God's praise always be in our mouth. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, in the Passion Translation, I want to read you this scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, about the test, about testing. We all go through tests sometimes, my brother and sister. I don't know anybody who thinks that going through a test, going through a trial is fun. Anybody think that going through a test or a trial is fun? It's not always easy, but we're to maintain our joy. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 in the Passion Translation says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being, but God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test, listen now, each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Glory be to God. God's got your way of escape tonight. And you may be facing pressure from your job. There's so many things that people go through today. The pressure of broken relationships, the trials that come from day-to-day struggles. But God's got a great escape for you tonight. And when people, good people, face trouble, they should not be surprised. Because as I say, sometimes bad things happen to very good people. And I want you to remember these four brief things when you face a trial, when you face trouble, the next time you're going through trouble. And I thank God that there is a place that he's created where there is no more trouble. That's not here in this earth right at this time. It's not here at this time in the earth. But let me tell you this. God has created a place for you and I. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, I will bring you unto myself. And let me tell you this. Heaven is a place of perfection. Aren't you glad about that? There's no trouble in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's no bad days in heaven. Oh, but during this life, sometimes we face trouble, and God has designed it so that if we will cling to his promises, and if we will claim his promises, get them deep within our heart, coming strongly off our tongue, God will give us the victory. And God will do this. He will either keep us from trouble, or he will give us the victory in spite of trouble. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. How many God has ever kept you from trouble? Oh, so many times in my life. Oh, just like you. God has kept me from trouble so many times. David said, you protect me from trouble. You preserve me from trouble. Psalm 32, verse 7. He said, you're my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Yeah. And so thank God for the many, many, too numerous to count times that God has delivered us from trouble. But that's a different sermon. I'm talking about tonight when we have to face the fire, when we have to go through the trouble. And I've been there. I've seen God deliver me going through a divorce. God has helped me and lifted me up. And if he won't keep you from the trouble, then I'll promise you this, he'll deliver you in spite of the trouble. He'll deliver you in the face of the trouble. He'll deliver you. David said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God will deliver you right in the midst of your trouble. He will give you wings like an eagle and let you get up and soar above your trouble. I want you to remember these four things when you're going through a test. Number one, your test is only temporary. Don't get discouraged and quit because your test is only temporary. A young man named Brandon Falls was running a marathon, and man, he was running a 26-mile marathon, and he got 200 yards from the finish, and he was exhausted, and as the crowds were cheering for him, he just got overwhelmed seeing the finish line, and he fell less than 200 feet from the finish line. Had to be carried across. It's so tempting to quit when you go through trouble. Because trouble can discourage you and I if we're not careful. If we don't do what the Bible says and maintain our joy, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. If we don't maintain our joy, trouble can somehow discourage us. And when people get discouraged, they get tempted to quit, which is why God tells you and I, keep our joy up. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And he quit just before the finish line. Your test doesn't mean it's time to quit. And you can't quit. You can't throw in the towel. God's not done being good to you. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it's the Hebrew boys facing a fiery furnace. And you know what they said to Nebuchadnezzar? He said, I'm going to give you one last chance to bow, to worship the statue that I set up. And they said, our God who we serve continually, Daniel 3, 17 and 18, they said, our God who we serve continually, he'll deliver us. And then they said this, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we still ain't going to bow. And I tell you, that ought to be the attitude and the sentiment of every Christian. If I have to face trouble, if I face trouble, God's going to deliver me. I'm going to keep the promises of God on my tongue coming out of my mouth. God's always given us the victory. I said, if you're a child of God, victory has been destined for you. But Christians get discouraged because sometimes they have to face trouble and they say, well, if I face trouble, oh, it must be over. It's not time to quit if you're facing trouble. You can't throw in the towel just because you're facing trouble. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Your test is only temporary. Isaiah said this, Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, I am with you, God says. Don't be discouraged, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will hold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. Remember this, my friend. If you have to go through a test, it's just temporary. Don't be discouraged. It's just temporary. Secondly, your test doesn't mean you're outside of God's will. That's a better point than I got one amen for. Just because you're going through a test, it doesn't mean you're outside the will of God. And so often people, when they go through a test, they say, well, I must be outside the will of God. You might be smack dab right in the middle of God's will when a test or a trial comes. And if you're going to rely on your human condition or situation to determine God's will, you're going to miss it again and again and again and again and again. You're going to miss it from one situation to the next to the next. You're going to live a life missing God like that. When you want to know if something's the will of God, first compare it to the Word of God. His Word is His will and His will is His Word. But then thank God, if you're a believer, we have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. I said we've got the Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He is our guide. He's our teacher. Praise God. He's down on the inside of us. And John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7, all say the same thing Jesus said. If I go away, I'm going to send the great helper to you. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He's a guide. He's a standby. Yeah. We've got the mighty Holy Spirit on the inside. And when we want to know if something's the will of God, hey, listen, compare that to Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, all who are being led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with our mind? No. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. What are you saying? God will lead you and guide you and reveal His will. Listen, on the inside, down on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. The Bible says, Colossians 3:15 and 16, that listen, we're to be filled with the Word and we're to be led by God's peace. Allow the peace of God to lead you. You want to know something? Is God's will. So just because you're going through a test does not mean you're not in God's will. I said, I wish I had one bigger amen. I could move on from that. Third, listen, your test isn't really about people. And whenever we get our eyes on people, we get our eyes off of the Lord. And whatever you're going through, it's not about people. It's not about people. People may be indirectly causing you trouble. And let me just say, people can do some egregious stuff now. People can be unruly and people can be cruel. People can be cold. People can be manipulative. People can be calculating. People can do a whole lot of junk. But people are not the problem. And oftentimes it's the influence of the enemy working through people that's a bigger problem. And a lot of times people get under pressure and they do things that they wouldn't normally do. People are not your problem. And your test isn't really about people. So get your eyes off of people. Over in the book of Genesis, you know the story of Joseph very well. In Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph says this to his brothers. They did him wrong all his life. And in 50, verse 20, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." And so he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Are you serious? Joseph fed 75 people at his table every night because he walked in love and he walked in kindness. And he refused to believe that people were his real problem. They sold him as a slave. They called him everything but a child of God. They lied on him. They forgot about him. Anything you can do to a person, they did to Joseph. But he was blessed and on top, because the favor of God was upon him. And let me tell you this, my brother and sister, the favor of God is upon you. If you'll get your eyes off of people when you're going through trouble, get your eyes back on the Lord. You say, "You don't know what people did." No, I don't know what people did, but I do know this. I know what Jesus did for you. Jesus died to give you victory in every area of life. I don't know what that person did, but I know what your God did. He's provided victory for you. And we've got to get our eyes off of people. Because when we get our eyes on people, then we want to get back at people. We want to treat people, get back at people. Job said in Job 42, verse 10, it says, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends." Oh man, I'm going to read that again. Job 42, verse 10. I know you're turning to it. Job 42, verse 10. "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. And after this, Job lived 140 years, saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. Job died an old man full of days." Job was blessed. He got his eyes off of his friends. His friends did some cold things to him. I mean, nobody wants Job's comforters when you're going through trouble. But Job learned how to forgive them and how to pray for them. And in the end, he was blessed with twice as much as he had, because he knew that people were not his problem. In Romans 12:14, it says this. Romans 12:14, it says in the New Living Translation, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." Oh, that's a big one. "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. The scriptures say, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." My friend, remember, your test really isn't about people. It's not really about people. Finally, tonight, number four, remember this when you're going through a test. Your test cannot outlast your praise. Somebody said, "Well, I ain't got no praise. I'm going through a test and I ain't got a drop of praise." Well, that's where you're going wrong. Your test cannot outlast your praise. And I'll tell you, if you'll learn how to praise God in the midst of trouble, learn how to praise him in the midst of adversity, learn how to praise him when you're going through. Oh man, that's how faith works. So often people want to praise God after they see how things conclude and things wrap up and see the end of how God did everything. Then people say, "Well, I'll get my praise on now." No, to really experience God's blessing, you got to learn how to get your praise on before you see the answer. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I was telling you about the man who came to fix my furnace when I was selling my home several years ago. And he came in and when he said, I'm not able to fix that. And I said, "Oh, that's okay. I appreciate you trying." And I saw my guitar over there. I ran and grabbed my guitar. I started worshiping God. I started, the thought that came through my mind, you're going to have to spend another $5,000 before you're closing tomorrow. But I got my guitar out and I just said, $5,000 or no $5,000, I'm going to worship you, Lord. And I'm going to call you faithful. And if you'll learn how to call him faithful in the midst of your test, oh, I wish I had an amen in here. If you'll learn how to call him faithful in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of what you're going through, right in the very midst of it, when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling abandoned, when you're feeling isolated, that is the time to bless his name. That is the time to open your mouth and do what? Complain? No, that is the time to open your mouth and lift your hand and say, God, you are faithful. And I may not know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. And I'm going to bless you in the morning. I'm going to bless you at noontime. And I'm going to bless you when the sun goes down. When you learn how to praise God in the midst of trouble, in the midst of adversity. In every situation in my life where God's delivered me, I've learned how to praise him, call him faithful. Even at the darkest moment, even when it didn't look like God was going to come through. To just call him faithful, to just worship him and bless his name. Worshiping God in the midst of divorce, it's never a fun situation. Worshiping God. I remember one time he told me, he said, stand up now and declare that the storm is over. And when God told me that, the storm was raging. He told me to stand up and declare that the storm was over when in fact the storm was raging. And I began to declare the storm is over in the name of Jesus. And I was quoting scripture saying the storm is over and the storm is over and the joy of the Lord. Somewhere in the midst of my declaring, the joy of the Lord hit me. And I cut a step all over the house. I cut a step in the living room. I cut a step in the bedroom. I cut a step in the hallway. I cut a step through the kitchen. Oh, but God ended the storm. Glory be to God. And my brother and sister, your test cannot outlast your praise. In conclusion tonight, I've told you that God's got a great escape for you. And I don't know what you're going through, but I know God's got victory for you tonight. And God's got a great escape. In the midst of your trouble, God's got the greatest of escapes for you. A young man approached me one night after I'd gotten done preaching. And he said, preacher, years ago, what about me? How does your sermon apply to me? So on Sunday night, I just got done speaking, and he said, tomorrow I got to surrender myself to a judge. And my lawyer told me the judge is going to give me 10 years. If the judge is kind, I'll get 10 years. And he said, my lawyer told me, come ready to surrender yourself to the court tomorrow. I'm going to get 10 years. And he said, so preacher, how does that message tonight apply to me? And I looked at him and I told him, listen, if the judge gives you 10 years, decide you're going to be the best Christian. As you serve God, serve the Lord in jail, serve him every day of your life, serve the Lord and be the best Christian that you can be. If you get 10 years, serve God with all your heart. And I said, if the judge sets you free, then serve God with all your heart, be the best Christian and serve God with all your heart. And he came back some weeks later and he said, the judge told me, I don't know why I'm going to set you free. I don't know why I'm giving you probation. He said, I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I'm going to give you probation. Give you 10 years of probation instead of 10 years in jail. God's got a great escape for you. Tonight I told you, your test is only temporary. You can't quit. Your test doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. You better follow your spirit for that. Your test isn't really about people, so forgive people. Let them go. And I told you, your test cannot outlast your praise. If you'll do those things, your test will lead to your testimony. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share what you laid on our heart for tonight. We thank you for the power of your word, the power of your spirit. And we thank you for always having a blueprint for victory. Whether you deliver us from trouble, which you have so often, which you do so often, or whether sometimes we have to face trouble with your promises in our heart and your promises coming out of our mouth, you always give us the victory. And we thank you for that. And tonight, someone here may be struggling, Lord, going through a test and a trial, not knowing how they're going to come through it. But we trust you and we look to you and we thank you for the power of your word, the power of your spirit. And we thank you for your ability, your divine ability to bring us out of every test, out of every trial, again and again, to bring us back to victory. We give you the glory for it. We thank you for helping people tonight and for healing people every place they hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. In a few moments, our prayer room workers are already down here. Praise God. And if you have a need for anything, we just want you to come down here and let these amazing men and women of God pray with you. They're anointed to pray and minister to you. And you have something on your heart. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer. Oh, man, they're going to help you tonight. And as we close, we want you to come forward and let them do that. Just before that, we're going to receive an offering for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. It's for Christmas. Look, I'm speaking for the choir. We're all the choir. We got the best pastors in the planet. There's no doubt about that. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are the most fantastic people on the planet. And we have them as our pastors. And they have, oh my, to serve on their team and follow their leadership. Thank God. Thank God. So we are blessed, and we want to bless them in just a few days. And so while Pastor is not here tonight, this is the perfect opportunity to receive a great offering, to get a big 1-2 punch in their Christmas offering. And then as it gets close to Christmas, we're going to give it to them. Listen, you can text that Christmas offering. You can text to give in the Christmas offering. You can do that by texting to 28950. Put in the keyword Hagen, H-A-G-I-N, a space in the amount you'd like to give. You can give traditionally using the offering envelope. We just ask that now you'd write a line item on there on the offering envelope that it's for the Hagen's Christmas gift. You can give out at the kiosk. You can still drop your offering at the lockbox outside the church office. And you can give online, rhemabiblechurch.com/give. And you can give that way. But how many want to bless Pastor Mrs. Hagen this Christmas? I tell you, I just love to see their face. They're the couple that it's hard to buy stuff for them. I'm like that too. My son asked me the other day, he said, what do you want for your birthday? It's time that we go through this drudgery of finding out what you want for your birthday. That's what he said to me. And I said, well, I don't know anything. And then, he's talking to Tony. See, he goes through this every year. We never know what to get him. And so then I said, JP, what do you want for Christmas? So he said, I said, apples don't fall far from the tree. I was able to get him back. But so often, you don't know what a person really wants, but you really want to bless them. The easiest thing to do is just give them the cash. All right, you ready to pray? All right. Father, you've been so good, and we're so grateful for our pastors. We love Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. And we want them to be so blessed. You said in your word that the laborers would worth double honor, those who are worthy of double honor. And that describes our pastors. So receive this offering tonight, multiply it, and Father, may they be so blessed this Christmas. In Jesus' name. And bless everyone who gives. In Jesus' name. And bless those who maybe don't have to give tonight but have a heart to give. Bless them too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let's let the ushers get this offering out of the way. If you would be so kind to hold your seat. These gentlemen are the best in the business. They know what they're doing, and they know how to get the offering, get it through quickly. So if you'll hold your seat and let them work like lightning to get it taken care of, we certainly appreciate that. We appreciate your generosity. We appreciate your giving heart. We know, there's so many people, it's sacrifice. People are sacrificing. We appreciate you. Thank you for being such a blessing. We're so glad you came tonight. We want you to remember to hold our pastors and all the Hagen family. Let's hold them up in prayer this week. Remember that. And then be right here Sunday morning and the 9 o'clock hour School of the Bible. And then the 10 o'clock hour, another great power-packed service right here. So make sure you tune in. Or be here live, but we know God's got something good for you. How many first-time guests did we have? Did we have any first-time guests tonight? We've got great, no, okay, we've got great people and great faithfulness in our people, and we're just so grateful for all that you do. Pat yourself on the back for being at church. Okay, we're almost there, and we'll be concluding in just a moment. We want you to have a good week. And if you face any trouble, you just remember God's got your back. God's got a plan for your victory. And you can't quit and throw in the towel. You trust God, and He's going to bring you out. It's going to bring you from victory to victory. Your test will turn into your testimony. All right. Brother, how close are we? We good? He's giving us the thumbs up. All right, well, stand on your feet. You are such a great audience, and you are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.